Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to this, the sixth of our midweek Lenten services. And our theme for this part of Lent has been an army of ordinary people. And in these midweek Thursday night services, it has been my pleasure over the last number of weeks to have a chat with somebody who has a connection with our church and to invite them to share a little bit of their spiritual journey with us. And if you want to catch any of our previous midweek Lenten services so far, they're all available on the St. Finian's YouTube channel. Just wanted to mention a couple of things that are coming up that might be of interest if you're tuning in today or in the days to come. Tomorrow, which is Friday, we're looking forward to our Messy Church online. Also to mention that next week, our Holy Week services will be happening between Monday and Friday, each evening at 7:30 online. And we look forward to welcoming the Reverend Adrian Green from Mount Marion to lead our thoughts during Holy Week. Our opening hymn this evening is a hymn that really speaks about the mercy and the grace of God as we reflect on the powerful words of "Before the Throne of God Above."
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is written on his hands, my name is hidden in his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart, no power can force me to depart. Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect sinless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is safe with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Our service this evening is the service of a late evening office. Blessed be our God for all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Glory to you, our God. Glory be to you, Holy Spirit, Comforter, treasure of all goodness and giver of life. Come and dwell in us. Cleanse us from all sin, and in your love, bring us to salvation. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Our psalm that's appointed for this evening is a psalm that speaks of waiting, and then it speaks of the joy of praising God. And we're going to share verses 1 to 12 together of Psalm 40. I waited patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the roaring pit, out of the mire and clay. He set my feet upon a rock and made my footing sure. He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not turn to the proud that follow a lie. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. How great your designs for us. There is none that can be compared with you. If I were to proclaim them and tell of them, they would be more than I am able to express. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sacrifice for sin you have not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me that I should do your will, O my God. I delight to do it. Your law is within my heart. I have declared your righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I did not restrain my lips. And that, O Lord, you know. Your righteousness I have not hidden in my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and truth from the great congregation. Do not withhold your compassion from me, O Lord. Let your love and your faithfulness always preserve me. Our Bible reading this evening is from the letter to the Hebrews in the 10th chapter, and it begins at the 19th verse. And in these verses, we hear a call to persevere. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I'm really delighted this evening to welcome another guest to our evening service. And our guest this week is Emma McGee. And Emma grew up here in the parish, and she has been involved recently in helping to lead our latest online Alpha course. Emma works for the Ulster Bank, and she is someone with a great sense of fun, great sense of life, great sense of energy about her. And it's really lovely, Emma, to welcome you here this evening to share with us in our service this evening. So we're just going to have a little chat And I'm going to invite you just to share a little bit about your faith journey. So Emma, for those who don't know you, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I don't know if I can top that introduction, but I grew up coming to St. Finian's all through my childhood, really, and through my teenage years. And then I went off to university when I was 18. I went to Trinity in Dublin, and I studied European studies, so a bit of Spanish, a bit of Italian, a bit of history. I got a nice year away in Seville in Spain, which was just as sunny and relaxed as you might imagine. And then I took a job in Dublin in Ulster Bank on the graduate scheme whenever I graduated. And the first year I didn't enjoy, I really was not very competent. I didn't know what I was doing. And just through a series of different events, I ended up being asked to come and work on a project back in Belfast. It was just meant to be for 3 weeks, but it just so happened that the team that I was asked to work on this project with were hiring at the time, and I just so happened to be sat beside the hiring manager, and I happened to be working in a great team. And they happened to put in a good word for me, and so I was offered a job. And at the time, I took it thinking it was just, oh, it might be easier for me to find something else to do if I was back up at home. But I really just am so sure that God had his hand on that situation, because I loved working with that team, and I would consider them, you know, really great friends now. And that's sort of how I ended up back in Belfast, and 5 years on, I'm still working for Ulster Bank, still working in the same team. And just, it's been great. And I suppose the same as everyone then, sort of surviving lockdown by baking banana bread and going for walks and coffee. But that's a bit about me.
Brilliant. And I know you've had quite an exciting time in recent times as well, but maybe you don't want to say anything about that just now. Can you tell us, Emma, when did your faith become important to you?
I don't remember a time where I didn't believe in God. And, you know, I'm very fortunate. I really feel like that's a great blessing. I suppose then when I was about 12 or 13, I started to understand a bit more about what it meant to be a Christian. So I realised that it was more than just turning up for church on a Sunday, not swearing, and believing in a God who I really thought was quite far away and pretty scary, to be honest. So around that time, I started to understand more, just from different people around me, that the Christian faith was about having a relationship with Jesus, and just in the same way as any friend, that you spend time with them, and that's how you get to grow a relationship. So that was one key moment. I'm going to be cheeky and add a second key moment, because I think whenever I went off to university, that was really important as well. So it was the first time I was out of my wee bubble, and I had great course mates, great friends, but they took issue, I suppose, with some aspects of my faith and really challenged me on it and asked the big, difficult questions. And so I had to kind of take ownership for, well, what do I believe and why do I believe what I believe? And we're all sort of called to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. And so I felt that I had to address some of those things head on at that time. And then on the flip side of that, I also made some brilliant Christian friends in the Christian Union. I started going to a church there. It was actually a church plant. I think my parents thought I joined a cult at first, but I just made great friends and people who really invested in me, and I saw people who were similar age, who maybe had a similar background and upbringing to me, who I saw were more mature in their faith. So they just had great knowledge of the scriptures, their prayer life was great. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in their life, and that kind of spurred me on to really pursue that for myself. So, yeah, that was a really important time, I think.
Brilliant.
It does sound a really important time, and I know for many people, when they go to university and maybe find friends there who have a faith that's really alive within them, it can have a really big influence. Can you tell me who were the people who sort of shared faith with you, who were maybe key people along the way, or are there people that stand out for you?
Yeah, so the person who really comes to mind whenever I think about that is Peter Hilton. So he was the youth worker, obviously in St. Finian's. I'm sure lots of people know him, but he was a youth worker through from I was about 12 until my early 20s. So a really, I don't know, formative time. And yeah, I remember when I was about 12, I was at youth club or youth fellowship, and we'd been running around the church grounds playing hunt. And on the way back to the church hall, he very sort of casually just asked me, what do you think about God then, Emma? And I thought that was a bit of a weird question, but I said, well, I believe in God. I believe the Bible's true. I say the Lord's Prayer before I go to bed at night, but I maybe don't give it much more thought than that. And I suppose in that conversation and then over the following years, he just sort of very gently kind of guided me to how I could have a relationship with Jesus, and it didn't need to be me just saying my prayers out of fear or trying to tidy myself up before I could come and talk to God. And you know, he had great talks at youth club and youth fellowship and things like that, and I'm sure a lot of that has stuck with me, but probably just as importantly, the example of him and Gemma, his wife, just in what it meant to live out faith in all aspects of their life, how to serve people well, how to share your faith, how to be part of a community of believers. So I think he is definitely a really key person, and you know, there's been subsequent people who I think are definitely put in my life at very particular moments with particular bits of wisdom to share, but just whenever you ask that question, that's definitely the first person who comes to mind.
Brilliant. And that's a really powerful thing to hear, because I'm sure many's the time when he was doing youth fellowship and doing things, he probably thought nobody was listening to him, but it went deep, and that's lovely to hear. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit maybe about your favourite Bible passage and why that might be?
Yeah, I mean, mine changes all the time. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but yeah. But it does. So we just heard part of that passage from Hebrews 10, and I think the reason I like it so much is that it kind of explains how God's character is so different to that very distant, far away God that I believed existed, you know, when I was a young child. And that because Jesus died for us, we can have full confidence in approaching him, you know, and that because we've been completely cleansed by what Jesus did, you know, we can call him Father. And I suppose that's a huge privilege, and it's also just so comforting, you know. And then the way that then encourages us to hold on to our faith, and sort of the latter part of those verses, which talks about how we should do it in community and continue to meet together and, you know, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And I think that's something I've seen in my own life. Whenever I'm really plugged in and invested in a church and people know what's going on in my life and vice versa, that's time where I've seen real growth in my faith. And equally, whenever I haven't had that, do you know, I've really felt the lack of it. So yeah, that's why it speaks to me, yeah.
That's brilliant, that's really powerful. And over those years that your faith has been important to you, have there been any sort of spiritual practices that have helped you in your daily life?
This is a very recent thing, because it's actually one of the sort of tips that we were given in a video from the Alpha course, which we've been doing recently, was looking at prayer. And one of the sort of tips that one of the guys in the video was talking about was that in our prayer life, his recommendation was that we keep it short, keep it honest, and keep it going. And I think for me, I find that helpful just in daily life, to in the very little moments that Like, God is there. You know, we know that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and he's there in all the very small things in life. So whether it's a meeting in work that I'm stressed going into, it, just taking a moment to pray, saying, God, I'm really stressed about this. Help give me a sense of perspective and know that you're with me. Or I'm going to hang out with friends before I go, pray that he'll help me guard my tongue and that I'll not be cheeky or gossipy or whatever it is. Or if I'm having a really great bun or the weather's great, just acknowledging God and all of those things. And I think that's like really key to the sort of relationship, and keeps me, I don't know, it just helps me to, you know that God is there with me in all of those moments in my prayer life. So I found that helpful very recently. And then in terms of Bible reading, I'm following a Bible in a year plan. It's through an app called Read Scripture that a group called the Bible Project produce, and it's going to take me more than a year. But I think just that idea of, I've never read the Bible kind of cover to cover, and it's just helping me see that it's not a collection of incoherent books. Do you know, there's the thread of God's plan for our redemption the whole way through, and it's helping me understand passages before that I just was taken out of context. And just to be able to spend time on a daily basis then knowing more about God's character and his plans for us. So that's been really helpful. And then the third thing is just, I suppose we touched on it briefly there, but doing it all in community. So just being really active and involved in the church that I'm in, and making sure that I have people who keep me accountable. And, you know, it's great, the social side of it, but also having people who'll have uncomfortable conversations with you or just drag you along to keep encouraging you to live out your faith and how you can serve other people and all of that. So, we're not meant to do it alone, and I'm very grateful for that. So those are my three things at the minute.
Those are brilliant, brilliant things that you're mentioning there, that whole idea of reading the scriptures and reflecting on them through the Bible in a year, the importance of prayer and just bringing God into every kind of aspect of your daily life, and this idea of community, and I think that's so lovely. And recently you have been involved here in leading our Alpha course online, which we've been doing over the past year, and there's a really lovely sense of community kind of develops through that. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been sort of maybe taken out of your comfort zone by leading one of those groups, but you've done an absolutely brilliant job, and you're just, I think, a fantastic community builder. So can you tell people maybe who don't know anything about the Alpha course, what's it been like for you to do it, and would you recommend it to people?
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't recommend it highly enough. I think it's brilliant. I've done it twice through now. And for me, I suppose I wanted to do it initially because I just think it's maybe easy to kind of bob through life. And, you know, there's the big questions that we all have. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Is there a God? What's he like if there, you know, there is a God? And instead of just trying to bob along, I think it's important to take the time to think, right, I'm going to examine the evidence on this and make sure I know exactly what I think about each of these things. And Alpha's just such a brilliant, no pressure way to do that. You know, just an hour a week to take that time and to do it with other people as well. So the format is kind of, it's an hour long session. The first half is a video, and the video just has all the resources that you would need to be thinking about these kind of things. It has like experts in their fields, people, ordinary people who have had extraordinary things happen to them through their faith and knowing Jesus. And then we take the discussion points from the video and discuss that in a group. And it's just sometimes that really helps something click through something someone has said or people sharing their own personal experiences. And I suppose I would just say, I mean, you can say as much or as little as you like in those sessions. There's really no pressure. And as well, there's no one type of person who comes to Alpha. Do you know, it's people who are at all different stages on their faith journey, people who've been Christians all their lives, people who are maybe reconsidering after years, or people who have no kind of Christian background at all. So I just think if anyone was thinking about it, I can't recommend it highly enough. And also a really great way if you have friends or family that you maybe want to have these conversations, but it can be a bit awkward or a bit difficult to get it going. Alpha's just a great way to do that with no pressure. And, you know, I just think everyone would get something from it. So it's really ringing endorsement.
That's great. Yeah. Emma, thank you so much for coming along and just being yourself and sharing your story. And I know I am going to embarrass you, but recently when we were on a Zoom call, people were asking, what did you get up to over the weekend? And you had to tell people, well, I got engaged, actually. So congratulations on your engagement.
Thanks.
And it's been fantastic to have you with us this evening, just sharing that story. And as we think about what Emma has shared and we think about this course, the Alpha course, we're going to just play a little video for people who might be interested in doing the Alpha course. Our next one begins on the 14th of April. And if you're interested in taking part, just get in contact with me and we'd love to steer you into that course that begins Wednesday, the 14th of April. But take a look at this video.
Easter's about chocolates, eggs, children, celebration. You know, it's good time, good vibes.
I'm a massive summer kind of person, so that's like the biggest exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, Easter just is like a holiday from school. It's not, it doesn't mean anything else other than that. I mean, let's be real now, like the best thing about Easter is that month before you have Pancake Day.
The cross, I think, means crucifixion.
It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not a Christian, so.
It's a statement as well of someone who did something really radical.
I think it means like a fresh start, or like, you know, like kind of like a phoenix from the ashes or something like that.
It's the hope of starting again, having a new leaf.
Comeback of Jesus. Jesus came back.
It's like a comeback, basically.
I believe in eternal life.
I personally believe in reincarnation.
Definitely, there has to be eternal life. Otherwise, why are we here?
Eternal life? Oh, Jesus, that's miserable, isn't it? Yeah, no, eternal life doesn't really appeal to me.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
No, the egg.
No, certainly the chicken.
No.
Well, you need the egg to make the chicken.
Egg. Gut reaction.
The chicken or the egg, neither. Wait. Either they both exist or they don't.
So now we are going to turn our thoughts again heavenwards in prayer, and we're going to invite you to join in the responses that you'll see on the screen. So first of all, this evening, let us pray to the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for all Christian people, that they may live in love and truth. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for all ministers of the church and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for peace throughout the world and for all governments. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray this evening for our neighbours and for all our friends. Lord, have mercy. And let us pray for those who hate us as we pray for those who love us. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for refugees and prisoners and for all who are exposed to the dangers of travel. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for all sick people, especially those known to us, maybe ill at home or in nursing homes or in hospital. Let us pray too for the sorrowful and the dying. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the abundance of the fruits of the earth, and that the poor and hungry may receive a just share. Lord, have mercy. Let us remember our brothers and sisters who have entered into eternal rest. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And as we go into a short time of quiet prayer, going to encourage everybody to continue to pray for those who have been bereaved recently in our parish. We pray especially this evening for the Logan family circle and the Brown family circle on the death of Desmond and Peg, who were laid to rest earlier this week. And we pray for your comfort, Lord, on those family circles in their time of loss. But also in the quietness, I'm going to ask everybody please just to pray for the continual rolling out of the vaccination program. We pray for wisdom and we pray for caution as we prepare to gradually come out of lockdown in these coming weeks and months. So we just pray for safety and wisdom. And in the quietness, we encourage you just to spend some moments in quiet prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and be made partakers of his resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray as our Saviour Christ taught us, as we pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we pray the words of our common collect together. Lord Almighty, come and scatter the darkness of our hearts by the light of your presence, that we may know you, the light of the world, and the one true God, blessed this night and forevermore. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. So may the Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you so much again to Emma for coming to share with us in our service this evening. And our closing hymn is a hymn of trust and faith in Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when driving seas, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I'll stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I'll live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.